Well, as oftentimes happens, we have a plan. You know where I'm going with this. And God changes it. And so we say, okay, Lord, we're gonna move with you to the best of our ability. Many of you know Paul Zeltwe. Some of you don't, but for those of you who do, Paul was diagnosed with brain cancer about 2 years ago now. And he went through surgery. He's gone through a lot of rehab stuff. It's been a tough road for him, both from a physical standpoint as well as just a psychological and a relational standpoint. But on New Year's Eve, we got a call. Laura, his youngest daughter, texted Hina and said that he wasn't doing well and just asked if we would come visit him, that he just needed some reassurance. And Paul and I had met for quite some time. So we went over New Year's Eve day. And I share this with you because sometimes when you minister to people, whether you're a pastor or whether you just minister to people, you get involved in their lives, you see what they're going through, but you get to see an aspect that that you don't always get to see from sitting out in the pews. And something that I saw on the day of the 31st really touched me and it was noteworthy to me. As I talked with Paul and we kind of talked about, you know, our past and kind of the way our pasts had gained, Paul and I had gone to the same elementary school together in Omaha, Nebraska. And he was there about 4 years before I was, but we had plowed the same ground, as it were. But anyway, so we had that familiarity. But as we got talking and he was kind of getting more agitated, he would ask me to take his hand. And so I would take his hand and he'd start pulling. And I said, Paul, do you want me to lift you up? Do you want me to move your chair? Because he wasn't talking real clearly at that point. I said, do you want me to move the bed up? No. But we just kept pulling. And as I pulled, I noticed he wasn't bending at the waist. He wasn't trying to get up. He was pulling back. And this went on for probably an hour. And his nurse came in and said, Paul, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt him. Just don't do that. But he would not stop. And he kept with the arm, and he'd stop for a minute or so, and then he'd go back to want me to. And I kept this tug of war kept going on. And then finally, the Lord looks at me and he goes, you talk about sometimes none of us are the brightest, crayon in the box. God says he's struggling at letting go. And I told him, I said, Paul, I said, you've got to surrender. I said, because we had talked and he knows he's going to be with the Lord. I asked him, I said, are you, he says, I know where I'm going. Jeremiah 29:11 is, I asked him about his favorite verses and stuff. Jeremiah 29:11 came up. But he knows he's comforted in where he's going to be. But he just wouldn't let go. And so about an hour into it, I said, Paul, you've got to surrender. You've got to let go. And I said, God's waiting for you. And you just need to let go. And so he began to release the pressure. And he said to me, he goes, you're a strong man. And I said, Paul, I'm not a strong man. I said, your namesake in Scripture talks about the fact that none of us are strong men. And that if we believe for any moment that we are a strong man, then we're putting up a blockade between ourselves and God and Christ. And I told him, I took him to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And I talked through, I said, Paul had to learn to let go of everything that he perceived made him strong and to really rely on Christ and Christ alone. And he talks to the Corinthians about this, about our power is found in Christ. And so he just kind of sat and reflected on that a bit. And I said, Paul, you just need to let go. And I asked him, I said, what are you afraid of? And he said, what was the word he used? Do you remember? Hope. He said, I'm losing hope. He said, I'm afraid of loss of hope. And I said, well, Paul, what is it about hope that you're afraid of losing? And he said, in relationships. So you could see that his concern was at dying and the damage that had been done in relationships within his own life. I share this with you because this is something we're all going to face. And we can put on a happy face and we can, you know, tell ourselves, we can put, you know, little note stickums on the wall and, you know, all of the power of positive thinking that we want to. But we're all going to face the day where we're fixing to take our last breath. And the consideration is going to be, where am I with the Lord? Have I truly trusted in him? Because if I have trusted in him, this is going to be a peaceful time. And if I've not, then there's going to be a whole lot of wrestling before that. And I was thankful that the wrestling alone was, once I said, Paul, you got to surrender. He just continued to repeat, surrender, 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 surrender. And you could see that it touched him. But, you know, I'm so thankful for a loving God. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, Paul, aren't you thankful that we serve a God who's a forgiving and loving God? And it brings me to Titus chapter 3. And in verse 3, it says, we all were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's the hope that we have. And so I just, you know, in looking at that experience and sharing that intimate time with somebody, you really get to see the love and grace of God. Because it can be a very difficult time. It can be a very peaceful time. And the sooner we let go, the sooner the peace will overtake us. But it is something that we can learn to do today. We don't have to wait until we have nowhere else to go and it's that final moment. It is truly something that we can learn to let go of today and say, Lord, you know, and I don't. And Lord, if you'll just guide and direct me, I will do as you've asked me to do. And what a loving God that he does that with us. If we'll just listen and surrender our own thoughts of who we are and what we're capable of doing. I'll just want to make one other statement. Both girls, both of his daughters texted Hina right before second service started, and he had said it was great for people to come and visit, but they've kind of asked for that to cease at this point because the hospice nurse is believing that he's beginning to transition. So just if you'll keep him and the girls in their prayers, in your prayers, Laura and Emily, in your prayers, and the whole family. It's a time for healing for the whole family. God's moving in this family. We've seen it, and just how merciful and faithful He is. Father, we come before You, Lord, and we thank You that it's in times of these challenges of grief, of loss, that we really feel Your presence. Lord, you tell us in Your word that You'll be with us through the fires and through the waters, but until we actually experience it, it doesn't ring as true in our lives. It can be intellectually true. But Lord, we thank You for bringing these things into our lives because it's through these events that it becomes real in our hearts. And we thank You that You are there, that Your word is true, Your promises are true, and You're faithful to complete them. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.